first public hearing is a change of zone number 1691, Linder and Company Incorporated, care of Andrea Finorowski. Mr. Lank, I assume that the applicant would like to consolidate his presentation for, since there are two.
Yeah, that's correct. It was change of zone 1691 and conditional use 1849. It's the request has been made that we consolidate the public hearings, and then decision will be rendered individually on each application.
I think that would be a wise approach. So
first public hearing is change of zone number 1691. The application of Linder and Company Incorporated, care of Andrea Finorowski, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a GR general residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, land lying northeast of Old Mill Road, also known as Road 349, and 450 feet northwest of Railway Road, also known as Road 350, and to be located on 34 acres, more or less. The purpose is to combine public hearing with conditional use number 1849. Again, the application of Linder and Company Incorporated, care of Andrea Finorowski, to consider the conditional use of land in a GR, general residential district, for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 48.3595 acres, more or less, lying at the northwesterly corner where Railway Road being Road 350 and Old Mill Road being Road 349. We have received some correspondence. First thing we received, and from the applicants on October 29th, we did receive a large exhibit booklet relating to this application. It is a part of the record. All the commissioners have copies and receive copies around October 29. The next item, and most of these items are already in the booklet, we did receive on September 8th of 2009 a letter of no objection on the entrance location from the Department of Transportation, also known as DELDA, and that was dated September 8th of 2009. We also received, and in each application, a packet of information from the Sussex Conservation District, and there's the same on each application, so I'll reference the one. There are six soil types on this property. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of this construction. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected. It may not be necessary for off-site drainage improvements. It's highly likely that on-site drainage improvements will be required. And attached to that is several aerial photographs, a soil map legend, a report on those soil types, and then a reference in a couple pages on prime and other important farmland. That is on both applications. From the County Engineering Department, we received a comment on, again, on both applications. They're incorporated together. This site is located in the Millville expansionary area for sanitary sewer. Wastewater capacity is available as long as in accordance with item 10, which I'll reference in a second. Ordinance 38 construction will be required. Current system connection charge rate is $5,768 per equivalent dwelling unit. An 8-inch stub has been extended to the property line along the parcel's frontage on Old Mill Road, approximately 285 feet northwest of the parcel's southerly property corner. A conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required. In reference to 10, I referenced it earlier. The project is within the boundary of the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District, and connection to the sewer system is mandatory. The proposed project is in a recent expansion area, and sanitary sewer service is available to the parcel. The proposed project is within planning study assumptions for sewer service, and there will be adequate capacity for the project as proposed. It should be noted that capacity and system design assumptions were based on a whole parcel size of approximately 50.19 acres. that included the approximate 1.8-acre area of the parcel on the easterly side of Railway Avenue. Construction of 200 units on the westerly side of Railway Avenue will leave capacity for only a single-family dwelling on the easterly side. The county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet County Engineering Department requirements and procedures. The county engineer must approve the connection point. A sewer concept plan must be submitted for review and approval prior to any sewer construction. The owner has been notified that the existing dwelling is in violation of county requirements to connect the existing dwelling to sewer within 1 year of service becoming available, and that a concept plan is required, and those comments were signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning, and again, they reference both change of zone 1691 and conditional use 1849. And then part of the record, just for reference purposes, part of the record of the exhibit booklet includes a substantial size document from the Office of Management and Budget, which is Office of State Planning Coordination, which processed this application through the PLUS process, Preliminary Land Use Service. And just in summary of their cover letter, which is their typically their final letter, the project is within a level 2 and 3 as defined by the strategies for state policies and spending. The state has no objection to the development of the site. However, we did not seriously concerned with the design of the development as it relates to traffic concerns, the impact of the development on the environmental features, and access to community amenities. And that's all I have at this time, gentlemen.
All right, sir, we thank you. Chair recognizes Mr. Byron.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant, Linder & Company. With me this afternoon are representatives of the company, Dave Crowley and Andy Finneroski, the project engineer, Garth Jones from Becker Morgan, and John Phelps from JCM, the project's environmental consultant. You have a comprehensive project booklet, and what I'd like to do is just hit the high points and then let the group try to answer any questions you may have. Garth, if you could do two things at once, can you identify yourself and tell us about your credentials briefly?
Sure. My name is Garth Jones. I'm a senior civil engineer with Becker Morgan Group out of Dover, Delaware. I'm a graduate of the University of Delaware in 1989, receiving a bachelor's of civil engineering degree. I am a professional engineer licensed in 6 states, including Delaware, and I've been practicing engineering in the public and private sector for 21 years.
Garth, could you take the commission on a quick tour of the neighborhood surrounding this property off the easel, please?
Sure.
Give me just a second here, if you would, Garth. I just want to let everyone know that anyone who would like to get up and take a look at the exhibits, we have, I don't know what happened to our second easel. Oh, well. You're welcome to get up, take a look at these. Just ask that you do it quietly, but feel free to get up and take a look. I believe Mr. Davidson is going to lend the county his easel. Be sure and send Mr. Baker a bill for that.
I was just thinking the same thing.
That's right.
The invoice is in the mail.
I'm sure he'll see to it forthwith. Of course, see to it can take many forms. But do feel free, folks, to get up and take a look. It's pretty far away from you. All right, so go ahead.
The project is located north of the town of Ocean View and Millville. It's at the intersection of Old Mill Road and Railway Road. It's essentially, you can see it's surrounded by residential development, MR zone I have here in the purplish color, and then the GR zone is in the bluish color. To the north of it is Bethany Bay, which is an AR1/RPC project. So we're kind of essentially, I don't know, we're like, our property's like a hole in a donut, and really one of the last vacant properties that sit out there.
Garth, is it correct that within the property there's about 16, 17 acres of GR ground, and the balance is AR?
Yes.
And the application is to convert the zoning classification of the entire property to GR?
That's correct.
Can you tell the commission a little bit about infrastructure? Start with traffic and tell the commission about your dealings with DLDOT.
Sure. Well, there two traffic impact studies have been completed. And both those studies are in your booklet. In sections 9.2 and 9.3. Based on those studies, DLDOT reviewed them and issued their review letter of the study. And what they're asking for are several items for this project. The first is to fund an equitable portion of local matching funds for the SR 26 Atlantic Avenue project that's supposed to be underway in the next couple of years. They have to improve railway road along their site frontage. They have to upgrade the road to 11-foot travel lanes, 5-foot shoulders. They also have to do the same for Old Mill Road along their site frontage, 11-foot lanes and 5-foot shoulders. There's going to be a right turn lane into the site, deceleration lane. Also, DLDOT is requiring their 10-foot wide multimodal path along the site frontage. And also, they would like to see interconnections to the multimodal path from the site to the multimodal path.
And based on those requirements, there's a no objection letter from DLDOT in the file?
Yes. Yes, DLDOT issued a no objection letter on September 8th of 2009, and that's also in your booklet.
Do you have an estimate of the cost of off-site improvements that the developer is going to have to bear?
For roadway, it's going to be in excess of $1 million.
But let's talk about sewer. This is in the Millville expansion of the South Coastal District. What's involved there?
Well, Lender Company's already installed over $1 million worth of infrastructure, so the sewer is already in place along Old Mill Road and also Railway Road. And there is a connection point, as Mr. Lank alluded to, that we would connect to.
And there is capacity to serve this project?
There is capacity to serve the project.
Let's talk about water briefly.
Water, the project is located in the franchise area for Tidewater Utilities, and Tidewater issued a letter this past July, or willing and able letter, to serve the site, so they have capacity, and it would be a public water system serving the site.
Let's talk about stormwater management.
Stormwater management, we've actually sized. Let me pull up the other graphic here. Essentially, stormwater management is going to be handled through the wet pond in the center of the site. This pond is actually a rather large, it's about three times larger than the size it needs to be. It's one of the main features of our site. So stormwater management we would accomplish within this pond. Everything would be handled on site, essentially everything draining from into the site to the pond. And we are required to meet the Delaware standards for stormwater regulation, submit erosion sediment control plans. The other thing is that this property is located in the Inland Bays pollution control strategies. So we also have to meet a 40% reduction in nitrogen, phosphorus, and bacteria.
Looking at the site plan, Garth, there's a number of what appear to be trees and plantings. Can you talk about that briefly?
Sure. there is some wooded areas along the site in this area, and there's some wooded areas on two sides of the site. We're also going to plant to increase the buffer in these areas to fill them in. There's street trees along the interior ring road, and we're also going to be planting street trees along Old Mill Road and Railway Road.
Those will be indigenous species?
They will be, yes.
Let's talk about your trip to PLUS and your response.
PLUS was occurred on September 2008. And we actually responded to the PLUS comments in June of 2009. As Mr. Lawrence stated, the property is located in investment levels 2 and 3.
We've actually reacted to the comments, and we've made some site revisions, site design revisions, based on their comments.
Although it's not directly relevant to a project like this, Ordinance 99-9C is useful as a kind of a checklist for any residential development project. Can you walk the commission briefly through 99-9C?
Sure. There's 17 items listed under 99-9C. I'll just hit the highlights. One of the items is minimal use of wetlands and floodplains, and we'll have no impact to wetlands or the floodplain. Preservation of natural and historic features, we'll have no impact to natural historic features. Preservation of open space, this property will have about 80% in open space, along with planted buffers and maintaining existing buffers. Water supply will be Tidewater Utilities. Sewage disposal will be Sussex County. Prevention of pollution and surface and groundwater. We'll have a stormwater management plan, and we'll also comply with the Inland Bay's pollution control strategies. The traffic issues we've already talked about as well. Effect on area properties and values, I'll let Dave from Linder and Company discuss those.
What about impact on local facilities, services, that sort of thing?
Well, we believe that we'll have minimal impact on the local facilities. One, we have a significant amount of amenities on the site. We actually have a clubhouse, a pool, a playground. We have a sanded volleyball court, basketball court, and a tennis court, as well as a large pond feature. And so we're thinking that a lot of activities will happen within the site. This is a seasonal community modeled after Bethany Bay. And based on Bethany Bay, we believe there's minimal impact on the school system as well.
Earth, when would the amenity package be constructed?
It'll be constructed at the 50th building permit.
Is there an open space management plan?
Yes, there is an open space management plan, and it is the last section. I believe it's 10.11 in the project development manual.
Since this project is in an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, can you explain how this plan complies with that ordinance?
Sure. In the manual, section 1.4, it lists the 12 items outlined in the county code for an environmentally sensitive district. And I've gone through and provided a response for each one. Again, a lot of them are very similar to compliance with the Sussex County Code 99-C. Stormwater, again, we're going to meet the Delaware sediment and stormwater regulations. The inland bays will have to have a 40% reduction in nitrogen and phosphorus, as well as bacteria. We're going to be served by public water and sewer. Traffic, just went through the whole host of improvements we have to make according to DLDOT as a result of the traffic studies. The endangered species, we had a rare, threatened, and endangered species assessment done, and none were found on the site. Non-tidal wetlands, there is wetlands on the site, and we are proposing no impact to those wetlands. As far as the public and private infrastructure, the applicant is going to be responsible for construction of the improvements to the road, sewer, water, stormwater, the amenities package, as well as maintaining the open space. Again, there's no historic or cultural resources. And mitigation of impacts, again, we're going to be served by public utilities. We'll have stormwater, and then the amenities package. We'll have landscape buffers, and then we also have a stormwater management plan as well.
That's all I have of Garth Jones. I'd like to call John Phelps, if I may. John, if you could identify yourself to the commission and briefly describe your credentials.
Sure. My name's John Phelps. I'm with Landmark JCM in Newcastle, Delaware. I have a bachelor's in science in regional planning, focused on environmental planning. I've continued my education with certification, wetland delineation from Rutgers University, and hydric soils and soil identification from Penn State.
Let me ask you first, was there a wetlands delineation done on this property?
There was.
Were wetlands located on the property?
Yes.
And is it correct that no wetlands will be disturbed in this project?
That is correct.
Was there a forest or tree survey done?
Yes, there was a forest stand delineation done.
And what did the delineation reveal?
Two forest stands were identified. No specimen trees were located within either of those stands, and nothing of value was located or identified.
Is it correct to say that what forest there is a cut-over forest that regrew without being replanted?
That is correct.
But as a result of this design, that forest stand will be disturbed very, very little.
Just this corner right here.
Very few trees at all.
Was an RTES done?
A rare threatened and endangered species survey was done.
And what did that reveal?
Nothing was identified.
Let's talk about the centerpiece of the project, which is the pond. How do you propose to control nuisance waterfowl such as resident Canada geese and migratory snow geese?
Canadian geese, they prefer a body of water, an open body of water, meaning those without a riparian or a vegetative buffer. This pond is being designed with a 10-foot vegetative buffer to deter the geese from roosting in the pond.
And tell me a little bit more about that buffer. What will be its constituents?
It's planted with a variety of indigenous facultative and obligate plant species indigenous to Delaware.
What will be the approximate height of the vegetated buffer?
It's mostly grasses and herbaceous plant species, and none get larger than about 5 or 6 feet.
But the idea to a goose is that there might be a predator in there which would make it unattractive.
That is correct.
To get close to shore. Any other features with respect to the pond that go into your design?
Well, there's plenty of features in the report. Let me be more specific.
All right, and just I was going to ask you about the pond itself. It's not going to be one single depth.
Oh no, there's a benched area right offshore that provides some safety for anyone that might fall in the pond. That's also been planned for planting to kind of expand that vegetative buffer as well.
That's all I have with John. Andy and Dave, if you could come up. Gentlemen, I think you can guess which one is Dave Crowley and which one is Andy Finorowski, but I'll let them identify themselves. Come on up, Andy. So identify yourselves for the record.
Andrea Finorowski, representing Linder & Company.
Dave?
Dave Crowley, Vice President of Linder & Company.
I'm going to throw questions at both of you, and whichever one of you wishes to answer them, go right ahead. Can you talk briefly about the theme of this development, how you came up with this design, and why you think it works?
Basically, this design was, the concept is from Bethany Bay. I have a Delaware real estate broker's license, been practicing real estate in the shore communities since 1986. And working on the Bethany Bay job since 1993. This is a design that we got from Bethany Bay, and it's worked pretty well for us.
Can you explain why it is that garages are set on the other side of the interior street? Is that a marketing tool?
It's based off of a proven track record for us. We found it was conducive to the second homes that we're targeting, and that is mainly our market. It's people that are there seasonally, and they use the garages for, you know, storing beach things, chairs, things of that nature. And it works out across from the units better just because of the nature of the design.
Talking about your market, as the developer of Bethany Bay, what's Linder learned about demographics? How many kids are there in Bethany Bay who use the Indian River Schools?
Initially, we had to find our market. Our first unit sold in 92. It took us a while to figure out the market, if you remember the 90s. But basically, the buyers told us that the market currently in Bethany Bay, out of the 461 units that have settled, we have four families using the school system, the school buses. And Bethany Bay, as you may remember, is a mix of single families and multifamilies, multifamily homes. Evans Farm would be multifamily homes only. We would anticipate the demographics to be probably close to the same as Bethany Bay. It's going to mainly be resort owners.
Can you talk a little bit of what you think your pricing range would be in this time of troubled banks and financing, how you would find buyers and lenders?
Right now, a lot of people may know that these are going to be condominiums, but the Kiowa, new condominium law for Delaware, was enacted in September of 2009. We're very conscious of that and designed this new association around that, along with the Fannie Mae guidelines. And you need, in the documents, the condo docs, you actually need, of course, the DeKalb language, but also Fannie Mae is looking for their language in there as well. We've settled about 8 new units in Bethany Bay under those guidelines. So we do have Fannie Mae financing for Bethany Bay. We also plan to implement the same strategy for Evans Farm. Pricing, right now in a 2-bedroom, multifamily home, we're looking at about 2.25. In a 4-bedroom multi-home, we're looking at about 375.
And that's a target range that has worked at Bethany Bay?
Yes.
Gentlemen, I'd like to hand up to Mr. Lank letters of support for this application. Excuse me, these applications that have been received from the various homeowners associations in Bethany Bay, including a letter from what's called the Transition Board. I'd ask Dave Crowler to explain what that is. What is the Transition Board of Bethany Bay?
The Bethany Bay HOA Transition Board is a group of members from each one of the condos. Linder & Company started settling units in 1992. The documents called for us to turn it over at the end of 2010. And we have been working with this, used to be a steering committee, now it's a transition board, for the last couple years on this turnover. The transition board basically is handling issues for the homeowners ahead of time. It's a proactive thing. Instead of us just turning it over January 1st, 2010, and saying, here are the keys. There's a lot of issues involved, from the golf course we're going to be turning over to them, to the open space, to the the whole property itself, along with the amenities. And it's been a lot of work. And basically, this group of homeowners has put in a lot of time aiding that transition, and we're pretty much set up to hand it off to them now because of that January 1st.
Well, if I may, I'd like to read briefly from a letter from a gentleman named Kevin McCourt, who is the president of the Transition Board. Mr. McCourt writes, as in much of Sussex County, plots of farmland are being converted to other uses, and it's my opinion that residential is the preferred use of this neighboring property rather than commercial or industrial. So on that alone, a change to residential is supported. When the details of the development are presented to Sussex County, our board will continue to follow the process and provide input as appropriate. Based on the conditional use site plan provided, other benefits will include the opportunity to work with the developer on mutual benefits, as Linder & Company will continue to have an interest in the Bethany Bay community while marketing the homes in the final phase of development here. A plan that appears to provide a buffer to our property, increase in the tax base and rate base for the county, and utilities to support improvements in infrastructure, such as roads, water, sewer, and electric. And finally, a light community that will provide prospective members and round play, and I think that means golf, for the Bethany Bay Golf Club, which is an important amenity soon to be operated by our community directly. Gentlemen, that's all we have. We'd be glad to answer any questions you have. you've got within that volume a draft condominium declaration, an open space management plan, a pond management plan, and a host of other documents. And we'll try to field anything you ask us.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Byard, and the applicants. And we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Byard, I have a question. The last letter that you read, could you read that? Or just let me take a peek at it.
Sure.
I was writing something down. I missed that part there about the amenities. Thank you. Thank you. I had a question. I didn't know if there was any shared amenities. I realize this site plan is represented, has its own, but being aware that Bethany Bay has, I believe, some kayak and boat launch areas, is there any plans to integrate or provide access for that, or is that Mott's Knots?
At this juncture, no, but anything's possible in the future. As a dialogue between the two communities develops.
All right. Thank you. Are there any tax ditches that are affected?
That I don't know. Garth?
There are no tax ditches.
No tax ditches. Okay. You mentioned, Mr. Jones, about the sizing of the pond. Is your belief that the oversizing of the pond is, creating an amenity? Should that pretty much guarantee that your waters will be kept on site and that any flooding in the area on the Evans farm as it is now will be improved or minimized?
With the size of the pond, based on what we need for stormwater, that pond's about four times larger than it needs to be, so yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if it were smaller, that would be an area where you could have requested, I guess, to increase your density? Are you happy with the 4 units per acre now?
That's sufficient given the character the neighborhood was developed.
Yeah, thank you. Did you have any issues, answers, or any problems with the wellhead protection area?
No, there is tidewater. There is a well. We're within a well protection area just along this the side of the project. We have no disturbance to it. And a matter of fact, in the plus comments, they actually commended, Denrec actually commended Linder Company for not proposing any development and maintaining this buffer area.
Thank you. In light of, we mentioned the environmental overlay zone, do you have any intention to do a phase one environmental study before construction begins? I'd read a plus response that said you were considering it. Has that consideration moved to another level?
I'll ask Mr. Crowley to field that. I believe a phase one report was done when the property was acquired in 2005.
Yes.
The answer would be in yes. Yep. And one last question at this time. Any tendency to do an archaeological study? I've been reading in the paper where we've discovered some unknown bones here recently down the Oak Orchard area. This property apparently, according to the Atlas, been around, had probably had some old farmsteads on it.
If you look in the project booklet, there is a copy of that page of Deer's Atlas that lays out a portion of Baltimore 100 where this property is located. And there's no indication from Deer's Atlas that there's anything of any archaeological significance.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I have at this time. I mean, the book sort of speaks for itself. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Byard, based on the current zoning, meaning that if this property was not rezoned, about how many housing units could be built on this property, given that part of it's GR and part of it's
doing
AR1?
The math quickly, approximately 135 to 140.
And how deep is the pond planned to be? I know there's talk about a 10-foot shelf that goes around it, but ultimately, how deep do you plan?
Damn if I know, but I'll call for help. Don or Garth, you want to help me with that one?
At this time, we haven't done any formal stormwater design, so we're not quite sure how deep the pond's going to be. I mean, there has been soil testing out there, and we know where groundwater's at, but we have not actually designed the pond.
But the plan is for the pond to be part of the amenities of the project, so it'll be a wet pond. And
yes.
And I think somewhere in this volume I saw discussion about fish and maybe stocking your,
yes,
your pond.
Yes,
so.
JC Environmental prepared a pond management plan, so yes.
So it may be some possibility of some fishing, Mr. Smith. And if you do dredge it, I guess assuming you had to dredge it to put water in it, where were you intending to put the spoils?
We'll have a set-aside area that the Conservation District will require, and at this point it hasn't been determined where, but it will be on-site.
It'll be on-site, okay. So we don't have to worry about a bunch of trucks going down the road carrying dirt off your property. Earlier there was a talk about the garages and the garages being separated and that they'd be used by a lot of folks for chairs and beach supplies and stuff like that. How big are the garages intended to be, and will there still be room for cars?
The garages that we have in play, which are going to be the exact same garages, are 10 by 20, and cars are still put in the side. What most owners are doing is on the studs, they're putting hooks and things and hanging beach chairs and things of that nature.
Good. So they're not just for storage?
No. They're primarily, some people are putting boats in them, but most owners are using it for cars and then bicycles and beach chairs, things like that.
Well, and I do like to give you a kudo. And in reading the summary, I noticed that you were planning 100 parking spaces for guests. And having driven through many developments like this, parking usually is on the street and curbs and everywhere you can get. So I do appreciate that as part of your design. And Mr. Byard, you know I enjoy reading the plus comments and the response to the plus comments. And I do have one interesting observation, and that is out of your 35 responses to plus, 15 of them said that you will consider or will be considered. Of those 15 will consider or will be considered, were the changes made?
Again, I'd defer to Mr. Jones on that one.
Not at this time, because again, this is more of a concept plan. So we have not put a lot of design into it at this point until we get through the process.
And in your preliminary design that you're showing us now, there was in one of the things you were going to consider was a buffer from the wetlands. Is there a buffer from the wetlands being proposed on your preliminary picture there?
I do know in this area that there will be a buffer in this area, because a pocket of wetlands is actually located in this wooded area. So, and it's not right along the edge, it's kind of in the center, so we'll maintain that buffer.
And I did note that they were wooded wetlands, so we're not talking about wetlands that are moving waters and that sort of thing.
They're isolated.
Okay. And I saw there was a recommendation. Are you replied that you would consider a environmental assessment phase one study? Is that still a consideration, or is that something you're intending to do?
I believe that was done in 2005 when the property was acquired.
Good. And maybe it's last. Let me. Yeah, I'll check my sticky notes there, Mr. Byard. Just an interesting observation. One of the real important plus comments I saw made by the state was real important, and I probably should utilize it. And that was they recommended that you increase opportunities for healthy eating. So, I have no more comments or questions at this point, Mr. Chairman.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, you did say you will consider it. That was one of your 15 apparently will considers.
There will not be a fast food restaurant on site.
Mr. Burton.
Uh, The commissioners have asked most of my questions, but the one question I do have is, where are the wetlands? Is it just that one corner?
Yeah.
There is a pocket of wetlands up in this one corner, and then there is a small drainage ditch in this area, and there has been some wetlands located in here as well.
And it's a drainage ditch that doesn't go to a ditch. It's just a drainage.
It was something that was dug by the farmer to help drain the property.
So the wetlands is in the ditch itself?
Yes.
The wetlands is in the ditch itself?
Yes.
Okay. No further questions.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
Just for the record, and since this somehow sort of relates to a residential planned community of sorts, there's no intent to do any commercial activities on this site at all. It's just for...
That's correct.
And what is the magic number of units that you're requesting? Because that most likely will be a stipulation.
200.
200? That's all I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Abbott?
No question.
Counsel?
Yeah, I have a couple. I'm trying to anticipate something that might come up at some point in the future. Looking at that site plan, it looks like a borrow pit with houses built around it. Where's the construction entrance going to be? Yeah, I guess, first of all, and the second thing would be, because it's surrounded by residential properties, would there be any objection if the commission were to consider conditions about monitoring dust and taking steps so that it doesn't become a dust bowl for the neighboring properties? So those are the kinds of things that the county usually gets complaints about on borrow pits.
In answer to your first question, I have no idea. I'll defer to Garth. In answer to your second question, that is a reasonable condition that can be imposed. Garth, can you give us an idea of where DelDoc would likely approve construction entrance?
I will likely put the construction entrance right in the area where the permanent entrance is going to go. But again, as we work with DelDoc, I'm sure they'll dictate where they want it.
I realize that it doesn't require conditional use because, as Mr. Abbott and I were talking about that, because it's, stormwater management part of a development. But at the same time, it's the kind of thing that could raise concerns later on when the excavation's going on. So that's why I asked the question. Thanks. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
That's it? All right, then. All right, sir. We thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1691 and or conditional use number 1849, Linder and Company Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1691 or change of conditional use number 1849? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the afternoon and see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.